This is the BBC.
This podcast is supported by advertising outside the UK.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Thank you for downloading this Cook the Perfect podcast. For more information, go to the Woman's Hour website at bbc.co.uk/radio4.
Now, it is July, although given the weather, you would not think it. But the raspberries are ripening, as are the red currants, and that means only one thing. Use the glut to make the perfect summer pudding. Justine Cantor, the Cordon Bleu chef, will explain how. Lots of fruit, a big loaf of bread, yes. One you made earlier, which I'm looking forward to. What actually constitutes the perfect summer pudding?
Well, in the middle of the pudding are a mixture of currants and berries, which in this case I'm just using red currants and raspberries. But you can add black currants or blackberries. I'm not a favour of adding black currants because they're slightly tough in texture and they're quite aggressive. And I'm sort of sticking with the authentic, purest version.
Delia Smith and Nigel Slater use blackberries.
They do, and they do acknowledge that the authentic version is just these two fruits, but you can have fun and play around with fruits that you've grown on your own allotment or whatever's in season. So,
all right, so what are the first steps to take?
So the first steps are I've taken the red currants. The ratio is 4-1 of raspberries to red currants. So I've washed them and I've put them in a flat pan. And I'm going to add the raspberries, and I'm just going to heat them very gently. I'm going to bring them to the boil and then let them simmer very gently for about 3 minutes. You don't want to do any longer because you're keen for the red currants to keep their shape, but I want them just to absorb the sugar that I'm going to add and a little bit of water.
Now, when you say, how do you measure a little bit of water?
Well, it is 3 tablespoons. I just happen to have pulled it in because I'm kind of comfortable with that. With the sugar, I wouldn't add 3 tablespoons to begin with because it doesn't give you any leeway. So I'm going to add 2. This really depends on the fruit. You know, we've all eaten raspberries that are fantastically sweet in flavour and others that are a bit tasteless. So I'm going to add 2 to start. And then after about a minute, I'm going to taste it and give myself the chance to add a little bit more. The key with the sugar is that you want it to cut a little bit through the tang of the fruit, but you don't want it to be too sickly. So it's your taste buds that kind of make the decision.
How sharp do you like it? I mean, would you generally be happy with the 2 spoonsful of sugar?
Yes, I don't think I'm going to probably add any more, but we'll see. So that's just going to bubble away now. It's just starting to heat up. Whilst that does, I'm going to move to the bread. So I've got a white sandwich tin loaf here. Surprisingly hard to find with all these speciality breads with ciabatta and sourdough. You must go for... You're basically looking for a kind of canvas, of a plain white canvas. You don't want any grains or holes in it because this is going to be the casing that absorbs all of the wonderful fruit.
So and not wholemeal bread?
Not wholemeal bread, no. And actually not even sliced white because that turns into a sort of soggy cloth, which is really disgusting. So this is really...
proper, old-fashioned, high street white bread.
Quite hard to find. I'm now just going to slice it quite thin. It's a mistake to go too thick because what you don't want is a big doughy wadge of bread that meets you on the plate. So I'm just going to cut some slices here. Now, talk about the staleness because what you really want is for it to be a few days old. Now, you don't have to obsess about this if you haven't got the time to wait. It doesn't matter. I have made it with fresh bread. But the reason it's better is that it's slightly dried up and it's going to absorb more liquid. And I'm just going to go into the fruit now and just try a little bit. I want all the sugar to dissolve. What I don't want is any grains of sugar in the finished product.
So how do you avoid the fruit kind of mushing down?
Well, I'm not going... The raspberries will mush down a little bit and the currants will actually keep... it's not going to be here for very long. But what I would suggest is don't give it a good stir because you will disturb it. I'm just going to try a bit. See, I think to my taste that's perfect. So I'm just going to give it a little bit of a shake and give it one more minute and then that will be fine. So back to the bread. I'm going to take the crusts off. And what you need to do is to reserve one slice, which is going to be the bottom of the pudding, and then the others I'm just going to cut into rectangles.
And you've got a big white pudding basin there.
Yes, that is just a ceramic standard pudding basin. You don't need to have special kit for this. You can use a pudding bowl that you've got at home. You just need a bit of height. So the first slice, I'm just going to take the bottom of the ceramic bowl and place it on top. And then just with a little knife, I'm just going to cut round. This is going to be the bottom of the bowl, which of course in the end is going to be the top. And that's what the eye will see. So you want that to be in one piece.
You want it to look neat.
Neat. Although, I have to say, when I teach summer pudding to people, I do reassure them that this isn't like baking. It's not absolutely exact. The bread is going to merge and come together. So actually, you've got a bit of leeway. You can...
Have you buttered that bowl?
No. Don't want any fat.
Oh.
Because you're
How easily does it turn out, then, if you haven't buttered
the bowl? Well, we're going to see in a minute.
And okay.
Then, luckily, this is radio, so if it goes horribly wrong, Jenny, I'm hoping that you're going to be
splat,
on my side.
I won't mention it.
Now, what I do, it's a trick that I've picked up, is that... Most recipes just say bung that into the bowl, the piece of bread. I'm going to dunk it, not burning myself, because that sort of acts as a bit of glue. And then it sucks down onto the bottom of the bowl. And I'm going to do that with each slice as I go. So we've got our bottom, our circular disc at the bottom. And now I'm going to just dunk each piece of bread into the beautiful coloured juices. And I'm just going to lay it and create a lining. The most important thing is that there aren't any holes, so the fruit can't escape. So you can have a go. I mean, this is real Blue Peter time now. We can have a go at sort of playing at mosaics. So when there's a little triangle of a hole, we just cut a bit of bread, give it a dunk, and squish it in so that we end up with a perfect circle.
So whilst you do that, what
yes.
do we know about the origin of the summer pudding?
Well, it's a bit intriguing. When I started looking into this, and I went online and found... various versions, but there was no evidence to suggest that any of the stories of its origins were actually true. There's one story that says it dates back to the 18th century, and it would have been a kind of cleansing medicinal dish, an alternative to butter-rich pastry, and they would have served it at spas. But there was no... You'd expect there to be some kind of recipe that you could look up and see how it was made, and there wasn't, and I thought that was a bit odd. Another version is it actually dates back to Victorian England, and it would have been a summer version of a sort of lighter suet pudding alternative. But again, nothing in print. So I popped into the London Library yesterday and had a look round, and what I came across, which makes perfect sense, is that actually it appeared in a recipe in the 1920s, post-war, when farmers would have had a huge amount of summer fruit that they needed to use up, and this was a very cheap, simple, doesn't really need much cooking. And it was a way of using that fruit up. And also, what better way than to case it in cheap white bread? And then they would have served their family. So it wasn't a dish that was served at the high table that people would have written about, which is why we can't find it.
It's a classic make-do-amends
food, isn't
it?
It's a rural farmer's sort of poor person's dish. And that, I think, I sort of felt like I'd made a bit of a breakthrough yesterday. That's the reason why nobody can... find it.
But why would they have thought it would be a favourite of health spas in the 19th century? Why would it have been considered health-giving?
Well, it isn't. I mean, you've got some fantastic fresh fruit. I've put a little bit of sugar in and a bit of bread. It is much better for you than anything that would involve butter. I mean, I'm going to serve it to you with a bit of cream. You may, of course, reject the cream.
I doubt
it. You doubt it. Okay. Anyway, so there we are. I've done a sort of mosaic of bread. So now comes the moment where we pour the juices. And some people say it's better to pour it in hot. It absorbs better. And I think I agree with that. So I'm just going to... I'm not going to pour it because the pan's quite heavy. I'm going to spoon it in. And I'm going right up to the top. And I want as much juice as possible.
So you don't put layers of bread in between?
Well,
some
no,
people
one
do,
of,
don't they?
Some people do. And in fact, I'm glad you reminded me of that. In the recipe from the 20s, they did do that. And in fact, I think Elizabeth David did that. She wrote about it in the 50s. So I'm not going to do... I think enough bread, actually. I'd rather celebrate.
So just
the
bread on the outside, yeah, and the bottom, yeah, and then presumably you put,
yeah,
some on the,
exactly,
top.
Yeah.
How successful is it at other times of year if you've frozen the raspberries and the red currants?
You can freeze fruit. Fruit does survive. I quite like this. I mean, for me, this is one of the only dishes I can think of that is really, truly seasonal, because even though asparagus has its months... we all sometimes fall prey to buying them when we shouldn't. And actually, in the shops, you can't buy red currants or raspberries unless it's July or August. So that I quite like that.
Right,
you can freeze your fruit.
We've got that one going.
Right.
Let's chip out the one.
Right. Are you on my side
you made
here?
Earlier.
If this doesn't
I'm
work.
I'm totally on your side.
Good, okay.
Quick
the joy
knife
of radio.
Around the.
So I'm taking a flat
edges.
Knife, not a serrated knife, round the sides. All the way, and I'm not worried if it doesn't come out the first time. I will go back in. I'm taking a pretty presentation plate, turning it upside down, holding on, and I'm hoping that I will hear a thud. But as I say, it's happened to me before. I just turn it back over. Let's have a look.
Come on, out you come. Hurry up.
There we are. Hang on a minute.
One more. Quick, go with
one
the knife.
One more round, you can probably hear the... There
oh, and
are.
There it goes. Absolutely perfect.
And then it's like a cake,
beautiful
really.
Colour.
You cut it as a slice.
Go on, cut me a bit.
Cut you a piece.
Quick.
It's the right time of day for a piece of summer pudding. And it does come out beautifully.
Oh, that looks fantastic.
Would you like a drizzle of cream?
Just put a drizzle on.
Nobody will know.
I get to eat all the things I'm not supposed to eat on Woman's Hour. It's wonderful. Oh, that looks really fantastic. And the fruit looks perfect. And I'll have a quick taste. Mmm. That is really good.
Excellent.
How long should you leave it in the fridge?
Well, I, by mistake, made one 2 weeks ago and I totally forgot about it. Genuine story. 4 days later, some people came round. I found it, and it was the best summer pudding I think I've ever tasted. So my advice would be 3 days or 4 days. And I mean, it'll last a week. Nothing can happen to it, so...
That wasn't the two-week-old one, was it? Justine Cantor,
thank you very much
indeed.
For more information, go to the Woman's Hour website at bbc.co.uk/radio4.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.